Welcome to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast with Jay Clark. Listen to his story starting at Wisco and all he does now and everything else. So thank you to the folks at Racetech for letting us record this podcast at Racetech, which you'll hear about. But also thank you to Racetech in general. Tell them you listen to Pulp MX. Tell them you listen to this show to get a deal from the folks at Racetech. And they got a new gold valve for 85s and the YZ65. Look into that thing if you are a mini dad. This thing's amazing. And it's a revalve in a box. So please check that out. And, of course, vintage stuff, modern stuff, motor work, all of it, racetech.com. All right, on to the show.
A Pulp MX Network production.
Welcome to the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, and Motorsport.com on RacerXOnline.com. With your continuing gracious support of our sponsors, we're thriving at over 1,800 podcasts delivered with over 20 million downloads. Click the Amazon banner on Pulp MX to help us out. Donate via Patreon if it suits you. And as always, enrich your moto lifestyle by working with the sponsors who support us. The original Moto Podcast, featuring legends of the past, stars of today, season previews, race reviews, introspection, opinion, facts, and laughs. Here's the voice bringing it all to you, Steve Mathis.
Say that dedication to your frustration.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Fly Racing RacerX podcast, remote edition. Thank you for listening. Appreciate it. Love doing these remote because it's always better to do a podcast in person. And I think you'll see that today. Thank you to the folks at Fly Racing, Cooper Webb, RJ Hampshire, Chance Hymus, just a few of the guys wearing Fly Racing. And of course, use the code PULPMX when you're checking out at Fly Racing. You can save with those guys and gear, helmets, you know, head to toe. They got you covered. Women's gear, kids gear, all of it. Flyracing.com. Thank you to them. Also, thank you to Maxxis, Renthal, Motorsport.com, Brunt Workwear, all on board this podcast. I'll tell you more about them later on, of course. And then also, check out the archives for more information if you can as well. So one of the oldest sponsors we have, partners that we have on the Pulp MX show is W Wheels. They've been with us since maybe the very beginning of the Pulp MX show, still with us in 2025, or 15 years now. Absolutely. All things wheels. If you want to dress up your new bike, if you have an older bike that you need a new wheel from, if you want a spare set of wheels, they've got their Edge set of wheels as well, which is a little more budget conscious. And they do wheels for tons of people in the pits. And then he used to be a mechanic back in the day. That's how we first met. And of course, White Brothers as well. And you've heard him on the Pulp Show. You've heard him on a few different podcasts here and there from WUSA. John Anderson. What's up, John? How are you, man?
I'm great, Steve. Thanks for coming to see us today. It's been a minute.
Well, I just came to see Kristen.
Of course. But yeah, where's Kiefer? I'm surprised he's not tailing you on Dark Side as well.
He's in the bushes.
Bunch of creeps. So that's all good.
Thanks for doing this, man. I appreciate it. I was at Anaheim Stadium Media Days, and I felt like it was a good time to drop down and do this. You've got a new addition to the W business, which we'll talk about in a little bit. But and by the way, if you're listening to this and at the end you like John or you need a wheel, just mention Pulp MX Show and you'll get a discount on that. Like I said, you've been with us for, like, you were an early believer in the show. I don't know what year it was, but early believer.
Yeah, we've been part of the Pulp family from almost the beginning, I would say, right? Back in the Watson days.
Yeah.
Kenny always likes to take credit for that.
Of course.
Yeah. Hey, I got W, but you know, we all love Kenny, right?
Yeah, for sure. W World Vet Championships just wrapped up. I wasn't able to make it this year. New format, 3 days. You elected Keith Bacardi into the Glen Helen Walk of Fame and all of that. How'd the race go? How was it for you? What'd you think? What'd you think of the 3-day format and all of that?
Well, not sure yet.
Okay.
And the reason I say it like that is because I was asking a lot of people, a lot of regulars, a lot of the sponsors, you know, look, a lot of people travel from all over the world to go to that, right? Mm-hmm. So for them, they would probably go, hey, I'd like to ride there 4 days in a row.
Yeah.
The local crew, though, the locals, it's like take another day off work. Not so sure.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard people say they wish they could have two motos a day, 3 straight days. Some people say, well, one moto a day is plenty,
yeah,
right? Depends on their age as well, right?
Yeah.
So, But I will say, I think the turnout was down a little bit. That could be multiple reasons. Mm-hmm.
You know, Halloween maybe, weekend too.
Well, yeah, but maybe the state of the economy or mm-hmm. the industry right now, people just don't want to travel, whatnot. I mean, when I say we were down, maybe just a couple hundred entries from the past. Right. So, but for the most part, I think people enjoyed it and it was a good, safe weekend. Everybody had a good time and, good.
Yeah. One of those things, because generally the format has been, they have an open practice Thursday for anybody like they normally do. Then they have a World Vet practice on Friday and then they have the race on Saturday, Sunday. And so when you think about it, like basically, I mean, for myself, I was practicing on Friday and then doing the Saturday, Sunday thing. So that's 3 days. Mm-hmm. So if you're Lori at Glen Helen, you're like, oh yeah, let's just make it 3 days. You know, people are coming anyways for 3 days, but that's different when it's a race versus a practice, right? You have to be there or you don't need to be there. Yeah,
for sure. And some people, I know when you and I talked about it originally, cause you're super busy this time of the year and you had some travels overseas planned, you were going to maybe come out one day. And I think some people were like that, for good reason. Mm-hmm. Right. So we'll see. I mean, we do always have a follow-up with them. I mean, look, it's Glen Helen's facility, their staff. I mean, we're a sponsor, right? We like to think we have some feedback in it, but it's something we'll talk about and see if it makes sense to continue in that format.
Ultimately, your father-in-law, Tom White, started the vet thing.
Why we still do it, right?
It's like,
why we still do it.
At Paris, I think he started it.
Yes.
Wasn't it? Yeah, back in the day, right?
Yep. So, for our family, and you know our family well, it's the motivation to keep going. Yeah. And I think we've had it now. When I say we, W has been the title sponsor, I think for 11 years mm-hmm. now.
Yeah.
That was with Tom's help, right? To put that in place.
Yeah.
And I know it's grown every year and whatnot, but it's a lot of work.
Yeah.
I'm not going to lie.
Yeah, I mean, for sure.
We're not a race promoter. I hear people on your shows that are promoters and mm-hmm. I go, man, I wouldn't want that job.
No.
Right.
No, so not. Speaking of family, Zane, your son, has been taking a bigger role at W the last few years.
Yeah.
You know, I was just having a conversation with you and Kristen and him in the warehouse here. What's that been like?
You know, it's been good. I mean,
Is it too much family time though? Do you know what I mean?
Oh man, you go, you got the good questions.
Well, because I know people who have done this, friends of mine that employed their wives or kids. And they're like, dude, I'm trying to get away from my wife and kids.
Well, listen, I mean, you know, our story, I mean, Chris and I have been married 23 years, but we worked together, you know, many years before that.
Yeah.
So it does get to be, it is challenging sometimes for sure when you can be at home and you're whatever, you're feeding the dogs or you're having a disagreement or whatever it may be, or parenting. And then like normally you go to work to escape.
Yeah.
See you in 10 minutes.
And then, see you Zane in 9, in 10 minutes. Yeah.
Or Zane in the morning, you know, we leave fairly early and then he comes cruising in. It's like, oh, you know, so if he's got something going on in his personal life or whatever. And so it's challenging. It's been an adjustment, but I will say this, that it's been good for me, I think.
Yeah.
You know, look, I mean, Tom hired me in this industry. I'm going to date myself and your people are going to go, well, holy mackerel, how old is this guy? But I've been in this industry 41 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I've been at this a long time.
Yeah.
And so now to have Zane and he really is enthusiastic and he likes it.
Mm-hmm.
Not to say that I don't, but he's like a fresh face, you know, fresh generation to do it.
Yeah.
It's been good. And he's definitely taken a lot on and he's learning a lot, still a lot to learn. He has a little Zane Zone video.
I saw that on Instagram,
and that's kind of taken its own, grown its own legs.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, it's funny, Steve. Sometimes I just kind of sit back. We have people come by, and I let him do his thing.
Yeah. And no, you have to, right? And make mistakes, and
for
all
sure.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah, we all do, right? And so the positive thing has been the feedback we get from people going, oh, "Man, Zane, he's you know, sharp young guy."
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes I go,
thanks to his mom.
Well, 100%. And then sometimes I go, man, that's really cool. Could he just take out the trash? But that's just part of parenting.
Yeah,
right?
So, for sure. No,
he's
and you guys have used him in social, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
he's got Zane Zones and you've put him out there a little bit.
Yeah, you know? For sure. And look, I mean, now a lot of the riders that we work with, amateurs and privateers and whatnot, they call Zane now.
Oh yeah.
It's not cool to talk to the old guy.
No, for sure, right?
So they'll text him or Zane will say, "Hey, Dad, you know, so-and-so text me. And I go, cool. Well, yeah. What's going on? You know, so, right. So that's been good. But, you know, and I need to mention also, like, you know, we have a daughter, Andy. She's 20 and she's not in this industry. She works in the medical world. She kind of manages this office deal. And she's like her mom.
Okay.
Super bright.
Yeah.
Super smart.
Yeah.
She's something else,
right.
But she's amazing. And so both our kids have, they're good kids.
Awesome. It's good to see. So it's early December as we do this and, I was on race teams for many years.
Yeah.
This is now the push to get ready. And you're, of course you do wheels for so many teams in the pits. What's it like on your end right now? Because again, like some of these people leave it for it's actually still, you're going to get probably requests in another couple of weeks from wheels. Mm-hmm. Cause from the lower teams that are unorganized, what's it like for you right now?
Well, so every year we go into it and we try and come up with a plan to be further ahead and we start getting product ordered, getting rims ordered, having everything prepared and ready. What color do they want and whatnot? And boy, we had a really good jump on it, right?
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then to your point, in the last 2 weeks, like where did this come from? But I would rather have that phone call than not, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So now there's product still being made over at the factory at Hahn.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, I always say this: we always come through.
Yeah,
we'll get it done.
Yeah. No, I've seen you walking through pits up Friday afternoon in Anaheim 1 with wheels,
and we've been there Friday night too.
Yeah,
right? And we just we get it done.
Mm-hmm.
I'll say.
What's the longest running team you've serviced?
I would say what is now the Rockstar Husqvarna factory.
Yeah, so Bobby Hewitt days, yes. Suzuki and, or whatever. And
so you remember back in the day when it was Dave Gallon?
Yep.
Bill Keefe?
Mm-hmm.
They were that was Kanade Kawasaki, and then it changed to what they do. They went to Suzuki. I think Chisholm was on the team early on.
Yeah.
Blake Baggett was there.
Yep.
And then they went to KTM. Remember?
Yep.
And then they became.
Husky, yeah.
So I would say that's probably the longest.
So that went from Bobby Hewitt, Gowan, and then Nathan Ramsey now. Yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, obviously some people in between that, right? But and I will say, like, with that team, you know, you think, like, big corporate team, and they are very much corporate. But Nathan Ramsey, good dude.
Yeah, for sure.
They're good dudes to work with.
A team like that, you know, highest level race winning team. Do they reuse wheels? Do they reuse hubs ever? Do they refresh? Cause like Hahn wheels are great quality. You do kite stuff as well. Great quality. A team like that, will they change out their, cause at Yamaha we had factory mag hubs.
Right.
And those basically lasted all year. We would rebuild the spokes and the rims, but the hubs would go a year. Is that what these guys are doing?
Yeah. So what they'll do is, they'll typically turn those into practice bike wheels for like a year. And these teams nowadays are so big with amateur programs and whatnot, or some of their futures kids and whatnot. But going into the new year, when they start fresh, they'll start with new product for everybody.
Yep.
And then again, the other ones, they'll, you know, look, we'll see them. They'll pop up here and there, but most of the time they'll just end up on practice bikes.
A team like that is getting, they use Hahn or
Hahn. Yeah.
So Hahn in Holland will supply free hubs for them, or half of the hubs, or a half, like, and they'll pay a little bit. Like, how does that work? Cause you're an importer, distributor for Hahn.
Yep.
So you're not making the hubs,
right?
You're doing the manual labor of putting the wheels together and supplying it and giving them a package. But you know, a team like that, they'll get money from graphic guys or get money from a handlebar company, right? You're not doing that, but how does it work for a team at the highest level on what they pay and what they don't pay?
So we have an agreement. Each team is different, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it's based on relationship and whatnot, and how long we've been with them. They'll get a certain amount of product free and then they'll buy product after that.
Yep.
Typically what'll happen is they'll end up buying more product than they get free.
Okay.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the higher level programs.
Yeah. I mean, we're talking factory team.
Factory team. Yeah. And, you know, obviously they had the Gas Rockstar Gas, same deal with that. Hep Suzuki is another one of our good partners. Same program.
Yep.
Yeah. Club MX.
You similar. Get X amount free and whatever you need at past that.
Right.
Right.
And the number fluctuates based off the size of the team on what the agreement is.
Yep.
And then the branding behind it, right, with Han and W and whatnot. And the way that works, because oftentimes people will ask us, you know, like, oh, you know, how does that work with us? And we're real fortunate. Han, our partners, you know, whether it be DID or Kite or Excel,
so
they kind of go, look, you know, we're their biggest customer globally here, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think is the best partner for us to increase sales, not only in America, but globally?
Yeah.
Right.
That's the ultimate why they're doing it.
Well, otherwise why do it? Right. That's what drives it all. Right. So we're real fortunate in that way. And as you know, we talked earlier before we got on the microphone here that, you know, Talon was really how we got started.
Mm-hmm.
And sadly, you know, they sold the company and then, they're just not really around anymore.
Yeah.
Right. The point is, the companies trust us, and so, you know, if we think it's a good value based on other partners that are involved.
Mm-hmm.
But I will mention this to you, Steve. It's funny because there used to be this saying, win on Sunday, sell on Monday.
Yeah.
Listen, I will say this, that sometimes the best programs aren't teams or have riders. The riders may not be winning, but they're the best partners.
Yeah.
And what I mean by that is, you know, and I'll say this to anyone, even a privateer or an amateur kid. If you're a good person and pleasant to work with and aren't kind of a douche.
Yeah.
I hope it's okay to say that.
Yeah.
Those are the best people you want to work with.
Yeah.
Because if they're that way with you, you know, if they're friendly, you know, they're that way with consumers or fans.
Yeah.
Or other sponsors or the where they get the bikes and whatnot.
Right.
Right. So, because I can tell you, in the past, we've worked with teams that were winning every weekend. Didn't always mean we sold product based on that.
For sure.
Even with supporting with, you know, those days, print media, print ads and social media and all that stuff. I mean, there's some guys, you know, certainly I'm not going to name names, right? Because that's just not cool to do that. But there's some of the best guys, and I know you know this, they can be a nightmare.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. No, absolutely.
Even as a sponsor.
Yeah.
And so if they're that way with me, imagine what they're like, you know, with their own team.
Yeah.
And I'm tread lightly here, but a lot of those same guys, they're not with those programs anymore either. Those deals ran their course.
Yeah.
So I'll just say that.
Yeah.
Like some of them just, if you're a good person, those are the people that we look for.
Yep.
It doesn't hurt. Yeah, it's great if we can run a win ad for sure, right? But that's not everything.
And then as you go further down the pecking order, an AEO team or an MX6, are they getting discounts?
Yes.
They're getting a discount on wheels and everything else. And then,
well, in the case, for sure. And it, look, I mean, like with Jeremy over at AEO, he's a great guy. I really like him, even just chatting with him, not even about dirt bikes. He's got so much passion for this sport, but he's a business owner too, right? He owns dealerships. I mean, if he didn't have those, that's kind of what helps him go racing. So he kind of gets the part of selling, right? And those are partners we want to be with.
Yeah.
Because look, we want him to sell our wheels too. Yeah. We have a program with him as well, but same time, every program's different.
Yeah.
And again, if we sponsor like a shop and they're moving product for us, hey, that motivates us more.
Mm-hmm.
To try and do more for them.
Right.
And that's the way it should work.
Right? And then when you have a Logan Carnell or just a straight privateer, are they getting a deal?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Because I mean, ultimately, like, you're a greaseball mechanic like I am.
Yeah.
Like you know the sport. You were there, right? So you know these guys and the struggles they go through and all of that.
And I'm
sure Kristen doesn't get stoked at some of the probably discounts you give out, but
no, I tend to get in a little bit of hot water.
Because you're like, dude, this guy is awesome. He's like, a good guy.
Yeah, like that's the part that I'm not the best at. Like, hey, man, I understand people's struggles.
Yeah.
You know, I see it. It's like, oh, they're coming from Florida. And they're trying to put everything together. They lost the sponsor. I've had this happen a couple of times. Most of the time, it's been good.
Yeah.
Maybe once, maybe twice, it's burned me.
Yeah.
Hey, man, just get through the West Coast swing and then pay the bill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We're not going to name names.
Yeah.
And then 3-4 months later,
yeah,
still not paid.
Yeah.
Like, dude, I did this. The accountant here?
Yeah.
This is my wife.
Yeah. And she's, I'm in trouble.
Yeah, this isn't good.
Yeah.
You know, I already got the look. Like, what'd you do? And I'm like, trust me, I got this.
Right.
But again, it just goes back to, because you get to know these guys.
Mm-hmm.
And you want to help them the best I can. Look, if in a perfect world, I'd have 200 set of hubs and I could go shopping and get everybody in the pack.
Right, right.
But that's not the real world.
Who's some of the managers and people that you've liked working with and maybe some who you haven't gone well?
Well, okay.
Over the years.
How about this? I'll say who the challenges were.
Okay, challenges. Okay? Yeah.
Some of my favorite. Larry Brooks.
Yeah.
He's always been a great guy.
Right.
Nathan Rams, who we spoke about. One of my favorites, Dave-O.
Oh, yeah, Dave-O.
He really was a big help to, even though I had worked with Chad.
Osterman, by the way, people were,
Dave Osterman. Yeah, Ozzy. You know, my white brother Dave's, like, I knew these guys and whatnot, and like Chad, but Dave really was a big help, you know, because for years with Tutu Motorsports, we didn't even have a logo on the bike.
Right.
We kind of had to earn our way. And then now, you know, I feel like we're, Zane talks to Chad.
Yeah.
And so, I would say Dave-O was a good one. Nathan Ramsey, I mentioned.
Challenges?
I would say the Butler brother days.
Oh yeah. Yep.
Look,
fucking
I mean,
JT, dude, JT.
No, well, JT was on the team.
I know, I'm kidding.
I don't know. Yeah. Like the BTO sports days, with Forrest and all that.
Yep.
Sometimes those were, I think it got, look, it was fine, but then maybe towards the end, we all go through struggles.
Yeah.
And I think it, you know, Forrest just, you know, he just ran into some problems.
Yeah. Yeah, it's probably happened to you a few times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would say that.
Yeah.
I would say that. I mean, look, there's a lot of teams that we build their wheels.
Uh-huh.
They're not even our hubs, right?
Yeah.
They get them from another. There's only certain hubs. If we're going to build it at that level, it has to be a pretty decent hub.
Yeah.
We're not going to take some, you know, $300, you know, Chinese product today and build it. Because at the end of the day, we built it. So if it fails, people go, well, you guys did it. Well, we didn't make it, but we built it.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams in the paddock that we build their stuff. We provide the spokes and nipples and labor and all that.
Are there any, you guys just picked up Ducati, by the way, Torelli Ducati.
Yeah.
Or maybe we shouldn't have said that.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, depends on when this is coming out.
It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
But, okay. So. Would you advise against a top level racer using a stock hub in Supercross?
Well,
like how long can that thing go?
Stock hub?
Yeah.
Well,
Are there different OEMs that are better and worse like that
way?
Like,
I think the answer to that is for the listeners to next time they go to a race and just look around. At that level of racing, you don't see stock hubs very often.
No,
certainly on the factory level. And look, we're very fortunate to work with a good majority of the paddock, but even the ones we don't, like the Pro Circuits, the factory Cowies, factory Hondas, those are hubs. They're not OEM.
Yeah.
And you can't, those you cannot buy them.
Right.
They're made in Japan. They're special hub. You will see sometimes we also have to speak about what the wheels or what they're competing on. Supercross, snarly on hubs.
Yeah. Well, that's what the question was.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't recommend
a
guy racing Supercross on a stock hub?
No.
Like
whether they bought our product or not, I wouldn't.
Right.
And I'll say this. From over the years and what I've seen, I don't think it's a good idea.
Right.
But in fairness to the OEs, they didn't really make the bike
for
Supercross.
Of course not.
Right?
No, yeah.
I mean, you know, of the people that buy the motorcycles, 99.5% will never ride a Supercross track.
For sure.
Right?
Yeah.
So, I don't think that that's a wise thing to do.
Retail side, how's business? You've done the Edge wheel set,
yep,
which is, you know, a cost conscious set of wheels for somebody, because let's face it, not everybody has the money for the latest DID and Han and Kite. Although, by the way, you did me up a set of wheels for my new bike, mm-hmm. the white and red Yamaha, yep. and I have gotten so many compliments about the wheels.
Yeah.
There was a lot of debate in the Mathis household and on the group text with Kiefer's about the colors, but I think we nailed it. I think we did a good job. So thank you for that. Yeah. A lot of compliments on that. But yep. For people who don't have the money to buy a wheel set, like I'm so fortunate to get on loan from you, by the way, mm-hmm. The Edge stuff is what you have now. What percent? Well, let's just start with this. How's the retail business? How's business? Because in speaking to rental guys and fly guys who are all my personal friends, it's a challenging time. It's not down. It's just challenging.
Absolutely. Yeah. So it's I will say this. It's steady.
Yep.
Okay. One thing about W that maybe the listeners don't know, sure, we do these cool colors and work with these teams, but we're so much more than just like mm-hmm. race team stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean as it pertains to wheels, like we do a big vintage market.
Yeah.
Right? That's really been a hit.
Mm-hmm.
We do a lot of adventure product.
I guess the adventure market is blowing up a little bit.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah. Love them or hate them. We even do some wheels for Surons now.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a problem with them as long as they're maybe not on our mountain bike trails.
Yeah. Right.
I'm
right.
Sure you can share that feeling. So, you know, but the other thing is, you know, we also just sell rims and spokes
mm-hmm.
for a stock hub.
Yeah.
So, with that, our business.
Yeah, but who wants to build those? Can regular people build them?
Well, some people do. It might be just an old timer or somebody that wants to learn, and you know, you have to have the right stand. Or I mean, there's people that talk about just putting a zip tie, taping it, and doing
marker,
it, right?
The taping up the marker.
But a lot of people will just bring their stock hubs to us.
Yep,
and we'll coat them. Right, I've done some coating with you.
Yep,
and we'll just coat their stock hubs and put good spokes and nipples and good rims,
mm-hmm.
and away they go.
So what percent of the business is the rebuild business,
yeah,
the Edge wheel business,
yeah.
and the high-end complete wheel set business?
Like, I would say probably 50% of the business is probably still the custom wheel orders.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. If we break it down, the Edge stuff's probably 15%.
Okay.
I mean, we do good with it.
Yep.
You know, some of the big partners you work with, Motorsport does a good job with it, Chaparral. We have a lot of good, you know, mail order companies mm-hmm. that we work with. Adventure stuff is still a growing market. You know, that's probably 10% of the pie as well.
Mm-hmm.
And then OE is 10%. I probably am right around the 100% at that point.
Yeah.
But still the majority is, when we say custom, that could be a colored nipple, colored spoke.
Yeah.
But
whatever.
We also could say just a Han hub with a DID rim. Mm-hmm. That's technically custom.
Yeah, yeah. No, that would be.
Yeah.
How do you, for a customer who doesn't know what they're doing, but they want a set of cool wheels because they have some money and they want to trick out their bike.
Yeah.
How do you lean them towards Kite or Han? And how does that work for you? I mean, both companies are partners of yours.
Yeah.
They both do good jobs. How do you, how does that decide?
Well, a couple things factor into it. The Kite does cost a little bit more.
Okay.
The lead times might be a little bit further out, but look, at the end of the day, it's a great product, right? Star Racing runs the product. It's a good hub. Up until last year, factory KTM ran them.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Usually when people go to the site at that point, or they look at our website, and you know, again, it might reflect on who uses what, right?
Yeah.
The majority of our program, our teams, partners run Han.
Mm-hmm.
I would say colors, availability, pricing.
Yep.
That all plays into it.
Do people, cause on my shows, when I talk about your W or when it comes up to people, the track or whatever, I'm like, just call them.
Yeah.
Just call them.
Yeah.
John will pick up, Zane will pick, someone will pick up the phone.
Yep.
And they'll give you all those options. But can you do it on the website too?
Absolutely.
Can you like,
100%.
I want Han and I want this spoke and
100%. Okay. From top to bottom, the hub, spoke, nipple, rim.
Okay. I probably should have known that, by the way. I should have done my homework.
We actually have a form on there and you can fill it all out.
Okay.
And it's like custom wheel, you know, custom works. And then it's right on the side. It'll build the price out and everything.
Okay.
And then obviously, listen, I mean, part of being a partner with you is, you know, they use that pulp code.
Yeah.
They'll get a discount on it.
Right.
Right. So they can save some money.
I always just tell people, honestly, I just say call them.
Yeah. And that's fine.
Because I know you have all those options, right?
Yeah, for sure. And look, I mean, we're here, you know, every day, but we've got a good staff, good crew here, and everybody knows it, the stuff. And I mean, you might get myself, you might get Kristen, you might get Zane, you might get any of the other guys.
You get Kristen, they'll try to be normal, try to act normal. Don't be like Kiefer.
It's kind of funny. Sometimes people will call and say, oh, yeah, I saw you. I heard them talking about you on Pulp, and she's all weirded out by it. And I go, hey, did they buy some wheels?
Yeah, exactly. Just don't worry about it. Just sell the wheels.
Yeah.
By the way, speaking of motorsport, doing the Edge wheel set for John and W, motorsport.com. Go through the banner to help us out. Great prices, aftermarket prices or aftermarket products as well as OEM parts as well. I'm building a project bike in 86 Yamaha. You've got me a set of wheels for it. They look beautiful. I get OEM parts through motorsport.com. And I would like to wish that Yamaha made more parts available for a 1986 bike, by the way, if anyone at Yamaha is listening to this. But motorsport.com keeps me off eBay that way. Please go through the banner to help us out. And of course, Renthal, our guy Paul there at Renthal, they've got a direct-to-consumer site now. And over $90 or $99 is free shipping. It's the first place to get the first drops of all the products. And you look at Honda, you look at KTM, you look at Kawasaki, they're running Renthal products forever. So thanks to the folks at Renthal and mountain bike products too. Do you run the Renthal mountain bike stuff?
I do. I've got their stems, I run a different bar just since I still got a messed up shoulder.
Really? What kind of, why? What's weird about your bar?
I run
Flex?
I do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of those bars. But
I have a set. I had tendonitis.
Yeah.
And I think I told you this. It's the only reason I was able to ride. The Flex bar.
Look, I mean...
Now we're talking about Flex bar, not Renthal's.
I know, right? But I will say on the dirt bikes and whatnot, you know, Renthal's the way to go, right?
Yeah.
But as you get older, if you have an injury and maybe a lot of the friends I ride with are kind of banged up, they're really good.
Okay. All right. Listen, Paul, that's John. Okay.
And I will say, in all fairness to Paul, he's been nothing but awesome to me.
If you want a carbon mountain bike bar, you can get it from Renthal.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
Renthal.com for more information.
If you go to the mountain bike races, the majority of those folks out there, even on the amateur level, they all run the Renthal bars.
But I will say, like I said, I had tennis elbow, and that fast bar really made a difference. It really did.
I still have a torn rotator cuff, and I, you know, second time I can't get it refixed again.
Yeah,
and it's just been a game changer.
So Renthal.com, motorsport.com. Yep. Also Brunt Workwear and the folks at Maxxis Tires, we'll tell you more about later on with John Anderson here at WUSA. W Lab.
Yeah.
Something new.
Yeah.
You're doing my merch, Swap Moto merch. Yeah. You've got some clients here and there.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit, this offshoot of W Wheels.
Yeah. So in a nutshell, maybe some of your older listeners might be familiar with a company, brand called Team Swollen, that was owned by the late Todd Peterson. He was a dear friend, great guy, great man. Sadly, he passed away after a 3-year battle with cancer. Anyway, the ownership group from there, the family decided to close it down, and they had a lot of good team staff there.
Mm-hmm.
And our daughter at the time was working there, and I'll fast forward, but basically this opportunity came up, and we brought them on board and purchased some equipment. They had existing clients.
Yep.
Right. And then we kind of tied into our network as well, which led to like yourself and Swap and 6D and Ronnie Mack and different companies.
Mm-hmm.
So we're in the shirt business now.
Yeah. And did you know anything about this business before you got into it?
The only thing I knew about it was where I would go to pick up our shirts.
Yeah, it's whatever.
And that's why you walk through there.
Yeah, it's got a tour of the place. You got a nice little lab going, little W Lab going on.
Yeah, and the cool thing is like all the team on that side, they were unemployed.
Yeah.
And we brought them over here. We made room for them. You know, it took a couple of weeks to get it going, to get the equipment, whatnot. But it's been really, really cool. Like all their customers that, you know, that team, Charles, he was kind of partners and Sean with Todd. Everyone's been like 100% supportive and go, man, they think it's great. Like, hey, they love Todd and Charles and Sean. And it's like, Todd was gone. What do you mean you're closing it down? Yeah. And so we brought it on here and Chris and I did talk about it going into it. Like, man, do we want to do this?
Yeah.
And I mean, so we did.
It's way more involved than when you first told me about it.
Yeah.
It's way more involved. I'm like, oh shit. Like you took over an existing business. I thought it was maybe something for Zane on the side to do.
Yeah.
It's way more than that.
For sure. And it's definitely grown in the short time that we've done it. And so now we're doing embroidery and we're doing canopies and flags and stickers and no graphics.
Yeah.
Make that clear. We're Decal Works here, right?
Nice.
But But it's been good. I mean, honestly, it's been kind of refreshing. And I do kid around with Zane, especially sometimes at home. He'll have some shirt on. I'm like, where'd you get that? And he goes, oh, we designed that. Like, yeah. Oh, that's the most expensive toy that we've ever had in our
exactly,
lives, right?
Like, he's got some shirt with Garfield on it or something. I mean, like, what are you doing?
Some of the stuff, I'm like, where'd you get that? And he goes, oh, we made it. And I was like, okay. Oh, great.
Yeah, so, great. Well, that cost me money. Yeah,
so, but, you know, but I will say this in defense of him. Some of the stuff that they've done has become like a hit.
Yeah, yeah.
That just shows you, you know, I'm old and and he's not.
Right.
Right? So, so.
So, W Labs, you're
yeah. So yeah. It's good, and we just again, it was kind of the way it came together was similar to the way W came together, and you know, coming up with the name, and boom, we were in it, and it's been a lot of fun. I think it's brought some, just everyone's real happy.
Yeah,
it's kind of a fun thing, and like I said, all the crew over on that side, you know, they're all new to us. And they're super pleasant and fun, and you know, they're playing their music and just doing their thing.
Yeah, oh, cool.
And the only thing W, just to be clear, you know, the W wheel part, like that's my priority.
Yeah.
I mean, I love what they do. It's cool. It's all part of the whole thing. But the only thing that the W Lab and W share are part of the building and the shipping.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not like we have wheel truers coming over to print shirts.
Right.
It's not that at all. Right. So. Right. But it's been good, and we'll see what the future.
Yeah, and I mean, certainly with your connections in industry, I mean, again, you're really busy on wheels, but with your connection in industry, you can probably land some clients, you know.
Yeah, and you know, something I've thought about doing, and maybe this is a good time to put this out there. But you know, a lot of the privateer guys are trying to find money to go to go to the races, and they have their own merch, right? I've talked to you about it. I mean, I'll just throw this out there. If anybody wants to reach out, a rider that wants to do his own merch, give us a call.
Yeah.
Because we don't have minimums. Mm-hmm. And, you know, give us a picture of you. We'll turn it into artwork. And the pricing's pretty affordable.
Yep.
And they could probably double their money.
Yeah.
And just have us.
And they're not really doing anything for the work. Like, they're just promoting
just like,
themselves.
Hey, right. We make a shirt with my picture on it and then I'll sell it.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll throw that out for anybody, any of your listeners. But, you know, also, I know you have a lot of listeners that maybe don't ride, right? And that's fine. But we do construction company stuff. Mm-hmm. And we're doing some dance team stuff, sweatpants and construction high visibility vests and stuff like that, right? So we do a lot of that.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not all just the moto action sports industry.
Sure.
You know, look, you can go anywhere and see people with T-shirts and their company on there. And hell, we even do some of our own vendors now. They found out we're doing it. They're like, hey, you know, can we do a little trade?
Yeah.
It's like, well, how about this?
Yeah.
And so we're doing a lot of the stuff for just small companies. And again, no minimum.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. It's been good.
By the way, Fly Racing, code PULPMX to save with the folks at Fly Racing. Great gear and head to toe. They'll have you covered. FlyRacing.com. Use that code PULPMX to save or use code PULPMX to save at WUSA as well.
Yeah.
Okay. So when you started, you were White Brothers, QTM, really Supermoto stuff was, you were crushing in Supermoto for a while. Then you start, as you mentioned, you had Talon Hubs.
Yeah.
They went sideways a little bit with their business, picked up Han and Kite, and you're doing a great job. But was there a moment, and maybe this is when you were struggling with Talon / transitioning to Han, or maybe it's before that, I don't know. But was there a moment, John, where business just like, just took off, like where you were like something happened, some team you earned their trust of some team, and then you know, whatever.
Yeah.
Was there a moment that was like, you know, this W thing's gonna work?
Well, look, when we started W, it was 2011, so it was right in the recession. It wasn't probably the best time to start a business. We were right out my window in the back there and across the parkway here in a single unit, and we had a pallet of rims. That's about all we had.
Yeah.
But we had the blessing of Talon. They were looking for a new importer.
Yep.
I had experience with it, as did Kristen. Me personally was on our race team with Spud.
Yep.
And Carpenter.
White Brothers team. Yep.
White Brothers.
Yep.
So I was already familiar with it. And Tom had brought that stuff over here many years ago. So that, you know, look, that was a tough thing to start, but I think that we had some really good relationships with dealers and media and race teams. And it didn't happen overnight. No, but at least they would at least take the phone call, or you could go up and talk to them.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, if it wasn't a good product, it didn't really matter, right? At that time, Talon
was good.
It was very good. Yeah, they did the Carbon Hub. Remember that?
Yeah.
And we got on with some race teams pretty quickly. Hart and Huntington, Troy Lee, like Team Solitaire. There were some Canada. But I would say over the years, then it kind of grew for sure. It was just a work in progress. Like a lot of our industry, and I know you've got plenty of friends in there. During the COVID time, like everybody's businesses went through the roof, right? Because they had all this time.
And money was out there.
This stimulus money, and they were like, I remember people would get those checks and cool, right? And they were like, yeah, I got this check and I'm going to buy some wheels. Like, I think that money was supposed to be for food, but hey, it's not my place to tell you how to spend it, right?
Right.
So, but I think, as you know, like in the industry, and maybe that's where we are now, is those numbers were never going to be sustainable.
No.
And a lot of people, unfortunately, had to forecast thinking that maybe the trend would continue that way. And it just wasn't a reality, right? It just wasn't. So what happened was, right, gear companies ended up with a lot of gear and helmet companies and whatnot. And all through that, we were, like, we were, you know, pretty fluid with our inventory and whatnot, right? I mean, everybody always asks for forecasting and all that. That's like, if you can forecast good, you should go to Vegas and gamble.
Yeah.
Because you just don't know what the future holds, right? So I would, the COVID thing, definitely. I mean, we had, and at one point, I think we had 23, 24 employees.
Yeah.
We were working weekends and, you know, but obviously that's changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would say it's been, just been a steady build. And it's been more just getting people familiar with us. And what do you guys do? Oh, you guys do vintage stuff. Oh, you do adventure stuff. Oh, you can get rims and spokes. And you've seen the back shop. Now, you know, we invested in equipment and, you know, we can do our own spokes now.
Yeah.
And that's a big thing too. Because at the time, the only company doing that was Buchanan's. And they're great, great people. We worked with them at White Brothers. I think they did a lot of like Harley stuff and whatnot. But nowadays, shoot. We do Harleys. If it's got a spoke, we do it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
How hard was it to source out somebody to do the edge hubs for you and like, well, make sure that they reached your quality, your fit, you know, everything you needed.
Yeah.
And then yet also forecast the models you needed and what you want to sell.
Well, the way the edge all came about, it was really, it came out of, people asking for it, a price point wheel set, right?
$700 like, bucks or something? Or
no, well, at the time they were that, but they've gone up. I think they're $849 or $849
for a set of wheels. For a set of wheels.
The cool thing about that whole project is there's a couple things to it. We were able to partner with Excel Japan, and they private labeled a rim for us. One of the biggest critiques of the cheaper wheels is the rims, right? They're notorious for breaking and splitting, cracking, whatever. That's why you see 100% of the paddock, I would say, darn near, is on an Excel or a DID product, right?
Right.
So the fact that we were able to partner with them and they did this for us, so it's a W by Excel. Stainless steel spokes, we use steel nipples on those. Look, even today we get, we get people that reach out to us and, hey, we have this product, we'd like to do this for you, or would you look at it, right, to look at these hubs. The edge didn't happen overnight. I can tell you that. Yeah. Like, because I had seen in the past some companies that were doing that. What do they call it? Bait and switch? Where basically they'll make you some product and then you test it.
Yep.
And then you place an order.
And it's not that.
And it's not that.
Oh, wow.
And it's kind of sunk some ships doing that. So what we did is we wanted to get all these analysis of the alloys they use and all that stuff, right? We want to be consistent. But when we got that, we spent over a year. It was kind of just, it didn't even have a W sticker on it. I reached out to a couple intermediate guys, some local pro guys, some vet guys, and just let them run it. And I made it clear, hey, maybe just don't go out and do some big jump. Just put like durability
testing.
Put
time on this thing.
Put time on it. And we made some changes over time. And it's, we finally got to a point where like, okay, we can, let's do this. We can go to market with this. And it's been a pleasant surprise and it's been, it's done well for us.
Are you the exclusive distributor for Hahn?
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
well, importer.
Importer. Yeah.
So,
that's what I mean.
We actually have distributors. So yeah. On any, the only thing we're,
so you're selling to distributors?
We are.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Well, one.
Okay.
At one point we had three.
Yep.
We actually had Yamaha, GYTR,
mm-hmm.
MTA. They're no longer around. We were with Tucker Rocky and Western Power Sports.
Okay.
The only one we're currently with is WPS.
Yep.
And, so,
and that's for Hahn. For Hahn?
Yeah, for Hahn.
Yeah.
Yeah, we don't, on the edge stuff, we don't have any distributors.
Yeah.
And that's only dealer direct and consumer direct.
Yep.
Right.
Yep.
There's none of margin there.
Yeah. Right.
As you know, in a distributor, you have to offer them a certain percentage.
For sure.
And depending on the product, that could be anywhere from 30 to 40%.
So if you're the importer for Hahn and you know, you've earned the trust of Hahn,
yep.
and they're a massive company, and
yep.
Is it something where you have to like, you have to meet minimums obviously and do business and all of that, just that, that's just part of it. But are you ever worried about someone coming in and grabbing their importing business to the USA underneath you? Like, how do you combat that?
You know, I think we've
it's just been, relationships, I guess.
For sure. And yeah. Listen, I mean, we've been very fortunate that way with the partners we've worked with when you're an exclusive importer, mm-hmm. like with Talon, like
yeah.
we dealt with the owner, right? Second generation,
yeah.
Rob Sarton, great guy. Great guy. He really gave us a chance.
Yeah.
I will say that
yeah.
for the record. He gave us, he kind of helped put us in business,
mm-hmm.
right? He sold the company and then we know where it went.
Yep.
With Hahn, look, it didn't happen overnight.
Yeah.
Like there was interest and we were talking. We had to prove ourselves.
Yeah.
Right. And we basically put it out before they gave it to us. Like, what do you foresee selling? How much can you sell mm-hmm. for us? And we just said, hey, we can sell this many pieces. And it was a fat number. And we're
yeah.
like, holy shit, we got a lot of work to do here. and we did that.
Yeah.
So we came through on what we said.
Yeah.
And I will say, like, our partnership with Hahn is business. But Rob Hahn, he's one of the best people I've ever worked with.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like a kiss ass saying, but I, based on his actions and what, like, a program we're working on mm-hmm. right now, like, it all came together. Like, he had to literally make a hub. He had made one, but they requested a change. He had that change done.
Who's they?
The Ducati program.
Yep. Okay.
They wanted a slight change.
Yep.
He did that, had them done, and they're off to Anno.
Yeah.
Like that.
Right.
And when he did that, even I, Steve, was like,
yeah.
holy shit. And
I mean, this is in Holland, too. This is in Holland.
It's, yeah, yeah.
You're dealing
yeah.
with time zones.
I mean, and, he yeah. jumped on that right away. And so, you know, it was really cool. We got to bring him over. Well, he came over. He and his right-hand man, Jurgen, good guy. They came over, and we took him to Salt Lake Supercross.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
First time they'd ever been to one, seen
yeah.
the actual show. And we visited every team we work with. And honestly, Steve, I think he was pleased.
Yeah.
In the way the product was represented, you know, the meetings that we had, mm-hmm. everybody was complimentary mm-hmm. on not only the product, but yeah, W.
Yeah. yeah.
And our relationship.
Yeah.
So I think we kind of earned that.
Mm-hmm.
And two, right now, we order a lot of product from them.
Yeah.
And so, you know, look, has this happened before? Sure it has. Not with Hahn necessarily, but other companies where people come in and, or maybe your partners go, hey, I thought we were a partner. And yet they're
yeah.
kind of reaching out to yeah, other
yeah,
people.
For sure.
So it does happen.
Yeah.
But I will say, you know, look, if we're going to put in the effort, we're going to go to the races and we're going to market and promote, like we want to have some security here,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Some protection.
For sure.
And unfortunately there's some in the past that just don't feel that true partnership.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, ultimately business, right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, look, can it happen? It's business, right?
Yeah.
And yeah, we've been real lucky.
Right.
Man. I'll say that with our partners and DID and Excel as well. They've been really good. Look, we're a distributor for them.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a lot. I mean, they
yeah.
sell to Parts Unlimited. They
yep.
sell to the big guys. Cool thing for us. I mean, we're not, you've been in some big warehouses in your day, right?
Yeah.
We still sell more product than they do.
Do you really? Oh, good. Yeah.
Because we specialize
yeah.
in that.
It's what mean, you guys are being known for, right?
I mean, a WPS book, I mean, they're a great company, but I mean, their
yeah.
books are about 3 inches thick.
Yeah.
Right. So whereas we're just specialized, we only do wheels.
Yep.
So, yeah.
What's the, What's the oddest wheel you've built? It's the strangest request you've had.
Yeah. I would say, I don't know if it's odd, but unusual. Axel Hodges was preparing for this jump he was going to do. Okay. He ended up getting hurt. Not because of the wheel, but he looped out. He was going to do this world record jump thing. And his father, Phil, you know Phil?
No.
He's a good dude. Like the world's oldest teenager. He's awesome. Yeah. But anyway, he, it's his son, right?
Yeah.
And Monster's behind it and everything. And he was bending rims and whatnot. So we ended up putting these big old fat, like almost adventure thick spokes on the wheel just to make it bulletproof. That was kind of a fun one, but also a scary one too, right? Like, I don't want the wheel to explode.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
But we've been so lucky, dude, on some of the stuff we've gotten to do. It really makes the job fun. Mm-hmm. We've built some wheels for Valentino Rossi through Mikey at Bleachworks. Mm-hmm. Some of the concept stuff that he does. We work with some like MMA fighters. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of the guy Mighty Mouse?
No.
He's a little guy.
Okay.
Kicks everyone's ass.
Okay.
We did wheels for him.
Okay.
Just reached out.
Yeah, yeah.
It's funny. Zane works with a active Major League Baseball player, pitcher.
Okay.
Gnarly dude.
Yeah.
I can't say his name because he'll get in trouble.
Oh, he's not allowed to ride. Yeah, not allowed to race, right?
And Zane deals with him. And when I heard this, I'm like, you talked to that guy?
Yeah.
He goes, yeah, Dad, he just reached out on our website. It's the craziest shit I've ever seen. This guy loves motorcycles.
Yep.
He's bought a lot of product.
Oh, wow.
And so that's been kind of fun. We did some a while ago for, I think he's like a DJ guy, Marshmallow.
I don't know, man.
He wears this weird mask thing. He looks like a Pac-Man.
Okay.
I don't know. Somebody was building him a bike. I don't know. I know Zane tells the story that we built a bike, some wheels for like a 1918 Harley Davidson.
Oh, really? Yeah, yeah.
And when they say build them, like we had the hubs redone.
Yeah.
The rims had to be a certain color, powder.
Yeah.
Cerakote didn't do it. So we had them custom painted.
Yeah, yeah.
So when someone will send a wheel set to you that's over 100 years old, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's kind of neat.
Right? But I mean, look, we've been able to do stuff, you know, project bikes with you.
Yeah.
With Jace at Gypsy Tales and Dawn. And I've done some fun stuff with Brian Deegan. You know, he did a build off against Jace on a YZ250.
Mm-hmm.
We did some green rims with him. There was one that he was just working on that we did. I haven't seen anything come out yet.
Mm-hmm.
For the Jake Paul.
Oh, yeah.
The fighter guy?
Yeah, the fighter guy.
Yeah. Brian and Hayden had some collab thing going with him.
Okay.
And he was going to ride a dirt bike, so they had reached out. So we get to do fun stuff like that.
Maxxis tires, by the way, great mountain bike tires. The guys at Maxxis, the Minions are what I use out in Vegas. And Jeremy McGrath, also probably a W customer over the years, I'm sure.
He's one of our guys.
Yep. Helped develop the Maxxis tires, PRMX, and of course, the International Supercross Race Team, Bubba Pauly guys using Maxxis tires out there. Please check those guys out. And Brunt Workwear. They don't make just the Omen boot or the Marin boot. They also make complete workwear. Pulpamex Show is the code to save with Brunt Workwear. The boots are fantastic, easy, no break-in required. And if you're a working man and you do working man things, not like me, but if you are a working man, Brunt Workwear for work boots. I've got Cam, Hunter Lawrence's mechanic, a pair. Pedro wears them at KTM and a few other people. So Brunt Workwear, code Pulpamex Show to save with those guys. John, have you ever pitched like a Honda or Cowie, someone that doesn't use your product, someone that uses factory rims, have you pitched them wheels? And is that the next step for you? Like, imagine being on Jet Lawrence's bike for WUSA. Like, or maybe you don't want that. I don't know. But is that a dream or a step?
Yeah. Yes, I have.
Okay.
Fucking
Lars.
Well, no. And look.
It's all Lars's fault.
Lars has been awesome. Like, I worked with him when he was at 22 Motorsports, right? With Oscar, with Dean, and Drew.
Yeah, they're all
he
over.
Had quite an all-star crew.
Yeah, they
there,
did, right?
And to this day, they couldn't be nicer, right? Does that mean that they can say, hey, I'll run your hub? I mean,
I know.
That's another level,
right?
Because there's only two factory programs. There's factory Honda. They get them from Japan.
Mm-hmm.
You can't buy them.
Mm-hmm.
And then, as you know, Cowie and Pro Circuit only They get them from KHI. That's a factory hub.
Yep.
I definitely have mentioned it, but that's an uphill battle.
Yeah.
To get them. And I will also say,
is that
this,
the only two teams that use like Japan built works wheels?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because back in the day, like Suzuki ran factory stuff. Mm-hmm. But now, you know, they kind of scaled back, but they put everything into, well, JGR,
mm-hmm.
you know what? And I want to mention that too. Jeremy Albrecht was another one. That was bad. I didn't mention it. That guy mm-hmm. was one of the best for me ever.
Yeah.
He's
a good dude.
He was always steady. Mm-hmm. It wasn't highs and lows. Mm-hmm. He was, appreciative.
Yeah.
Polite. I think he genuinely appreciated what we did.
Yeah.
And Coy, the late Coy Gibbs.
Yep.
He was great as well. I need to mention that. But I will say, you know, I mentioned earlier in our chat.
So that Wood might be a dream then. You've pitched it. You've talked to him.
Yeah. Yeah. But here's the thing, Steve. I mean, even in the era when Dungey was winning every weekend, mm-hmm. he was on Kite.
Yep.
Again, great product. But man, we put some effort into that. We you know, with print ads and yeah. all this stuff yep. that we did. It didn't always translate to
sales.
Didn't
move, yeah.
It just didn't.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that, you know, with the Lawrences, obviously it's not just them, Chance Hymus and mm-hmm. Shimoda and all that. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
One thing I don't want to get locked into, because I've seen other companies do this, where they put all their thing into one manufacturer.
Yeah.
There's companies that do that today,
mm-hmm.
right? And they get known. Look, for a long time, Pro Circuit was known as they only made good stuff for Cowie.
Yeah.
Remember? Did you know that? Did you ever remember that?
I don't really remember that being a thing, but okay.
They just thought, well, how do they know anything about a KTM?
Yeah.
Right? Or whatever. And that's one thing I don't want to do. I want to make sure that we're steady across the board for everything from a TM to a Beta, Sherco to whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. That's a big goal.
Okay.
I don't. One thing I've dabbled in this year, which is probably something you'll enjoy on the cycling side of things.
Yep.
Start some partnerships with some mountain bike guys.
Oh, okay.
Racers.
Yep.
And it's been really cool in talking to them
mm-hmm.
That they knew what W was.
Yeah.
To me, that made my day, because I'm a big fan of that World Cup downhill stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And man, it's so funny. They were really accessible. You know, obviously, you knew someone, got a number, called them, mm-hmm. said, "Hey, I see you ride some dirt bikes. You do off-road stuff." So my thought on it was like, "Look, these guys, they cross-train on mm-hmm. dirt bikes.
Yeah,
a whole other audience.
Yeah.
So let's try and put something together." So we got this year, kind of the next American star, Asa Vermette. Freestyle rider we've worked with for a while. Great guy. Mm-hmm. Great guy. Jackson Riddle. Another American legend, if you will. Aaron Gwynn.
Yep.
Up and coming, but not really because he's 30. Dakota Norton.
Okay.
And then we did a deal with this, the Enduro world champion, Richie Rude.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all on our wheels.
Yeah, yeah. Do you see yourself making bicycle wheels or no?
Well, I don't know.
Okay.
We've been asked about it.
Yep.
I just built up a really cool bike, you know, obviously before I got hurt, but a downhill bike with some help from Intense.
Mm-hmm.
They helped me out a little bit mm-hmm. with a deal.
Yep.
And I built this bitchin' bike, dude. And I actually was like, who makes the best wheels for these? And there's lots of companies.
Mm-hmm.
I ended up going with Industry 9.
Okay. Yeah.
You heard of them?
Yeah, I've heard of them. Yep.
And so funny story, the guy, he rode dirt bikes.
Oh.
And he was familiar with W. So we did a little deal.
Yeah.
Right.
Cool.
So that was pretty neat.
Yeah.
And I did some Olin suspension on it and all that. So those are when you talked earlier about like who are some fun stuff you've got to do or odd prop, whatever.
Yeah.
The mountain bike thing is still a work in progress. But I'm excited about that.
Yeah.
And some of the engagement we've got from social media mm-hmm. That people are like, oh man, you do stuff with them. Yeah. Right. And then I see people start to like our stuff and follow us. I mm-hmm. go, okay, this is pretty cool. So let's see where it goes. All you can do is try, right? We're trying.
Yeah.
We're all trying to get new customers.
No, for sure. Yeah,
right?
and also do something cool.
For
do
sure.
Something interesting, right?
Yeah, for right. sure. I mean, look. I mean, you mentioned earlier about Zane and the next generation and all that. I mean, I'm in my 60s now, man.
Yeah.
Right. So it doesn't mean I'm like ready to go on a rocking chair, but you know, it's nice that our kids are showing the initiative, yeah. right? And my wife and I, you know, she's a fair amount, as you know, younger than me. Mm-hmm. Do I want to keep doing this when I'm 70?
Yeah.
Probably not.
Right.
I mean, I'll always be a fan.
Yeah.
My wife thinks I'm the biggest geek in the world. I can go to a race at Anaheim and come home and watch it that same night.
Yeah, yeah.
She's like, weren't you just there? Yeah, and I go, yeah, but I want to watch it again. You know, or I might even watch it the next day.
Right.
So I still love it. Uh-huh. Huge fan of all these guys. It's a great sport for sure.
Yeah.
It's not a hate, but it's a love hate thing.
Right.
It's provided us a good living and all, but it's also a hard sport.
Yeah.
It's, you know, I mean, my brother-in-law is in a wheelchair from a motorcycle accident.
Yeah.
You know, Brad, know, Brad.
Yep.
That was a freak accident, but you know, you see stuff that happens. I mean, look, you talk about it on your shows. These guys all know what they're signing up for.
Yeah.
But it's heartbreaking, dude.
It is.
When you see a guy like Jerry Robin, he's a great, great, great kid.
Yeah.
And to see that, your heart breaks for him.
Mm-hmm. No, for sure.
Freaking gnarly, man.
Yeah. It's crazy how normal it is for us.
Yep.
Because we all just accept that when we get on a dirt bike, or accept that this could happen while we watch this sport. And, you know, we just all shrug because it is what it is. But we chose to do that.
Yeah.
And we all know the consequences, right?
Yeah, so. Look, over 20 years ago, I mean, when Mike Young Jr., who's part of Road Recovery, you know, he did that at a four-stroke race.
Four-stroke,
And I was there.
Yeah.
And I was down there in the dirt with him, you know, and to hear, heavy.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Heavy.
We'll wrap it up on this here on Fly Racing RacerX Podcast. White Brothers, of course, started by your father-in-law and his brother, and grew into this powerhouse distributorship, right? I've told the story before. Like, I bought from White Brothers when I had Steve Cycle up in Canada through Chris Bergstrom, and you guys imported everything and distributed everything, I should say. And they sold, and it went south, right? The company that bought it, they ruined a lot of companies, and it's one of the old stories. But the question I have for you, like, if Tom and Dan don't sell, are you running White Brothers?
Well,
are you just taking it over? And you know what I mean? You married the daughter. The business was good.
Very good.
Right. Like, from what I know, there was no failure of business there. It was people who took it over.
Right.
You had the exhausts that were everywhere back in the day.
Yep.
Honda, Yamaha.
Yeah.
Are you running it?
No.
Is there no? Okay.
No, but I will say this. People have asked that before.
Yeah.
You know, look, not just because he's my father-in-law, right? And for the record, he had already sold the company when Chris and I got married.
Yeah.
So it's not like I got this big promotion.
Yeah, yeah.
There was White Brothers. I don't think the love would be another one of those. And what I mean by that, the people that we had at that company, they're still around today.
Yeah.
And some that aren't, they're just really good people.
Uh-huh.
I will say this. Would I be running it? No. But I feel like I'd still be working there.
Yeah.
If they would have.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I love to work there.
Yeah.
And I'll, you know, for the record, I'll say the Jim Lewis's, the Donnie Luce's, the Chris Bergstrom's, right?
Yeah.
Sherry Ridenour, all these people. Bob Weber.
Oh, Bob Weber? I didn't know Bob Weber worked there.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Some great people came out of that place, right? And there's hundreds more. Maybe aren't in the industry anymore, but we had something that was special. And even the sales team, I mean, I still hear it where, like, man, I love calling White Brothers. Everybody knew what they were talking about.
Yeah.
You guys had the coolest shit.
Yeah.
And, but I think that, I don't know, I'm curious what you think too, but, you know, you mentioned earlier about Renthal going consumer direct and stuff, right?
Yeah.
I know FMF does and whatnot. Yeah. Sometimes I feel like the model of the distributors is changing a little bit.
Yeah.
Because when you have big companies like that going consumer direct, you know, look, we all want to support our dealers.
Yeah.
For sure. Right. I'm a big fan of the mom and pop shops and all, but yeah.
Yeah.
It's changing.
No, you almost wonder, because White Brothers, like, say it keeps rolling in the business.
Yeah.
And I don't mean like 2025, but 2000 or whatever, or late 90s. If it's still rolling, you got these behemoths that create their own gear companies, Parts Unlimited and WPS, and they're distributors as well. and they're able to package everything together on buying power, it almost seems like the White Brothers business model wasn't going to work.
Right.
If you look in the future, if you kept spacing it out, right?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because they were just a distributor for other companies.
Right.
They didn't create anything of their own.
Well, not in the beginning.
Okay.
But later when Tom started the manufacturing side with the E-Series and all that. I mean,
yeah, there's the Super Trap stuff or whatever, right?
But Super Trap, again, was someone else's
product.
No,
but it was, you guys had developed a Super Trap-ish
type. It was called the E-Series,
okay,
and that was in the Harley market.
Got it.
But we also made those for some of the four-wheelers as well.
Okay. So it was going that way.
It was.
Yeah.
Oh, 100%. Yeah. In fact, the manufacturing, the building in Yorba Linda, where I think you've been in there, family still owns that. You know, something else is in there. But it was two large buildings. Mm-hmm. One of them was all manufacturing.
Okay.
I mean, there were all these bays with
Tom
the welders.
Had seen the future and was doing that. Like,
well,
that
there's a story behind that. And I don't know how much time we have, but it basically came, he was pushed into that.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened was he always knew that was the future. And we started to explore. And I remember Bob Weber and I talked to some race teams about running the White Brothers stuff. And we got a little bit of traction. People are interested. And we lost... We were a distributor for Yosh, FMF, Pro Circuit, Bills, Big Gun, I think somebody else, and one of the bigger players still around today, probably the biggest, called Tom, the owner, and said, basically, what the hell are you doing? You know, you're competing against me.
Yeah.
Well, Tom knew the future.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, well, I can't just, I need to have my own protection. I have my own brand.
Yeah, because any of these guys could pick up tomorrow and leave.
And that was the time that...
Can't believe Mitch did that.
It wasn't Mitch.
Okay.
But it changed.
Okay.
And that vendor essentially fired White Brothers, said, you're not selling my stuff anymore.
Yep.
And it was game on from there.
Yeah.
And I will say, and one of the prouder things that that I got to be a part of, look, the guys that did the work, Jim Lewis, Steve Drew, Alan Olson, they did the work, right?
Yeah.
But in the early days, we were the sponsor of Factory Honda with Ricky, Nathan Ramsey, Kevin Windham, Mike LaRocco. And then we also, in that same year, did Chad, Ferry, Villeman. And I feel like I'm missing some. Anyway, the point was, you talk about a lot of pride and something you're proud of. Is when we'd go to the races and like we walk in there and we'd get a lot of stink eyes. But we, in the early four stroke days, we had everybody.
Yeah.
We kicked everyone's ass.
Product was good.
It was really good.
It was good.
It was good. And it was the people behind it. But really, at the end of the day, it was with Tom's blessing. He was like, it costs a lot of money to do it.
Yeah.
But he's like, go for it.
Yeah.
Like, we need to make this happen. And again,
did you sell a shit ton of that, of them?
Shit ton.
Because you gave us at Yamaha a shit ton. Because of the requirements of three top-level racers. I can imagine Honda, what Honda was getting.
Yeah. And getting paid.
And getting paid, right. Yeah. But you were still selling enough.
I'm telling you, man. Yeah. And here's the thing. In those days, if you were good enough for factory Honda, and you wrote say you wrote a Cowie, and you saw Ricky Carmichael and said, shit, man, he's got a White Brother pipe. I want one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And it worked.
It worked, yeah. And then you had the anodized ends.
It worked.
For the different color bikes.
That's right.
And those. Yeah.
And that was in the era. Those pipes were damn near $1,000.
Yeah.
Even back then.
Yeah.
But people still talk about them, right? Remember the Yamaha had the blue tip on it and then the Honda red.
I was always amazed that no matter what you guys did, the carbon you used would weaken.
Oh, for sure.
You know, with the level of rider of Chad Reed or Tim Ferry. And
100%.
You know, I had buddies that had no problems with theirs, but
I can tell you when White Brothers, we had our race team that, you know, you and I had time together competing against each other.
While you came east, you thought you were going to challenge Kelly Smith.
Well, I will say in 2002 and 2003, we won the East Coast and West Coast four-stroke nationals.
Well, I was gone by then.
If I had a microphone, I'd drop it right now.
I was gone. I was done with Kelly Smith. We won on 2000 and 2001, you know?
Some little track back in Kentucky maybe or something. Well, but
came out with Spud. You thought you'd wanted something.
I don't remember Kelly coming to the West Coast. What happened?
Whatever,
Whatever? No, but... I forgot what I was going to say. We got off track there.
About the durability, about the carbon.
Durability. Yeah. So when they shut the team down after 2003, my job was to, I was doing rider support and whatnot. And my job was to go to the races. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you in those days, like Ricky, for instance, he got four pipes per weekend.
Yeah.
He got one. That was in the day of Saturday practice, mm-hmm. right? Sunday morning practice, fresh pipe, first moto, second moto.
Yeah.
Or, so what I would do, I would go over to Honda and to Yamaha with gear bags, yeah. collect all the pipes and bring them home. And we would try and salvage maybe the head pipe
yeah.
if we could.
Yeah. Or the maybe, end caps or something.
Maybe
yeah.
The S bend of the pipe, but the yep. shell. Yeah. Nowadays the stuff's so nice. Right.
Right.
But they would get those pipes, the mufflers primarily, so hot,
mm-hmm.
as you probably know, you could push that thing.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
could see it push in. Right.
Yeah.
But boy, we had some success with that, dude.
Yeah, no,
it was next level stuff.
We started at Yamaha when I was there with GYTR stuff. I think it was made by Muzzy, and it was god awful, just god awful. And we yeah. switched to your stuff, and we're like, "This is yeah. it fits, it works, it yeah. looks cool." It just was such a step up in four stroke exhausts for us.
Yeah. yeah, you know it's cool, and you'd never see this today. I remember at White Brothers in Yorba Linda, we had two R&D rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Separated by locking, you know, the key pad.
Yeah, yeah.
In one of the rooms would be a factory Yamaha.
Yeah.
Right next door was a factory Honda.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you never see that.
When
now.
Bob Oliver or Shane Drew would come, whatever.
Yep.
They weren't allowed to go over there.
Mm-hmm.
And we would have two factory motorcycles in there prototyping pipes.
Yeah.
You'd never see
no,
that today.
Never happened today. No. Absolutely.
So that said a lot about the company and
yeah.
And
the trust in Tom and everything else.
And the trust in yeah, Tom and yeah. all the people, you know, the guys, like I said, the Steve Drews and Jim Lewis's and whatnot that built those pipes, yeah. right? So it was, I don't think we'll never see that again.
No, but for sure not.
It was awesome to be a part of that, for sure.
WUSA for all your wheel needs. Tell me, listen to Pulp, get a discount. WLAB now for all your clothing needs and shirt, t-shirts and merch and things like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Fly Racing Racer X podcast. Anything else? Do we cover
no.
everything?
No, I appreciate you coming by. It's been a minute since we chatted. And, you know, we talk at the races now and again, but thank you for coming by. And, you know, I'll say it's kind of funny, but I've told you this before. I think a lot of your listeners, like I can, you know, whatever, be somewhere and I have a W hat or shirt on.
Yeah.
And it's like,
hey, W.
And it's the craziest shit to me. And people go, oh, I heard you on Pulp.
Yeah.
You know? And I just go like, holy shit, man.
Eric Pinard gets that too. He says he gets it all over the world.
It's crazy. But everyone's, it's kind of makes you feel kind of cool. Like, that's awesome, man. So your reach is really good. And it's,
you've
done a good job for us for sure. And that's why we continue to partner with you. And hey, man, I got to give you some props, dude. You're looking good. And I know we talked cycling before we went on the show here.
Yeah.
So that was kind of fun to talk. Mountain bike suspension.
Yeah, it's an addiction now. I'm deep into it. I need help.
Yeah, you are. That's awesome though.
Got a new bicycle from the guys at Intense, and it's I'm more excited about that than anything else.
Yeah, and I think I got a taser really because of you and Gary Sutherland.
Yep.
He let me borrow his. It's a great bike.
Yeah,
and like I said, I built one of their downhill bikes, and
what do you see the new one?
Yeah, I can't wait to see it.
Looking forward to
maybe
that.
Maybe I don't want to see it.
No, Kristen will see that bill coming through, too.
Right. But anyway, thank you for doing this.
No problem, man. I appreciate it. Always, like I said, you've been a longtime friend of mine. I've known you for a long time. I'm happy for your guys' success here at W.
Thank you.
And it's a great company as well and great product, right? So thank you for the wheels for the new bike for mine. It looks bitching. And yeah, man, again, wish you guys with nothing but the best with the lab thing and then of course continued success with W. Fly Racing RacerX podcast. Thanks, John.
Thank you, Steve.
This has been the Fly Racing Steve Mathis Show, presented by Maxxis Tires, Renthal, Motorsport.com, and Kuba Links on RacerXOnline.com. Thanks for listening and supporting our partners.